distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion. Hey there, folks and fans, and welcome to another podcast edition of Comics Are My Religion, where we look at the intersection where religion, comics, and pop culture and whatever else out there that might have to do with anything fun meets religion. So, and that is found on comicattack.net. I am the comic book clergyman, Jeff Jackson, and with me this time is writer, researcher, speaker on intercultural studies, enthusiast of all things pop culture and religion, and what my favorite, cognitive adventurer, John W. Moorhead. How you doing, John?
Hey, great. It's good to be here. Thanks for, you know, giving me all those titles and all that. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. Yeah, no problem. Well, it's good to have you. John is also the director of the Western Institute for Intercultural Studies and the director of the Evangelical Chapter of the Foundation for Religious Diplomacy. And so that's a mouthful. Tell us a little bit about those two things.
Both are nonprofit organizations, and I divide my time between the two of them. The first one, WIS, the Western Institute, helps evangelical Christians understand new religious movements and world religions so they can be more sensitive and effective in sharing their own faith views with their adherents. And the other, the Foundation for Religious Diplomacy, helps mainline Protestants and evangelicals develop and pursue interreligious understanding, relationships, and conversations with the goal of making our post 9/11 world that is unfortunately still many times very divided by religion to make it a more peaceful place in which to live.
So there you go. You know, those of you who are listening who may be wondering if there are any evangelicals out there who are interested in interreligious conversation, John is a perfect example of somebody who does that. So that's great to hear that there is a lot of talk about that, because I think you're right that people don't quite get the idea of talking in this pluralistic world that we're in, and instead we kind of are in these little boxes thinking that we're the only religion that there is. So that's fantastic. That's fantastic work. So,
well, thanks for allowing me to give it a plug. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. So John also has a super cool website that he runs called TheoFantastique.com, where he explores everything from sci-fi to horror to fantasy and everything in between, and how those things really connect to the world of religion, mythology, philosophy. I mean, there's a little bit of everything covered on that website. And so tell us a little bit about that site and how that came to be.
Well, I relocated from Northern California, where I was born and raised, and came out here to Utah. I received a scholarship for Salt Lake Theological Seminary, which is unfortunately, due to the economy, now a defunct institution. But I developed a relationship with the president of the seminary, and I had seen some of his work, and he had seen some of mine, and he gave me a scholarship. And he said, come on out and get your degree, your master's in intercultural studies, which is basically trying to understand other cultures and their religions and how to communicate cross-culturally. And as I was taking a course in new religious movements, I was struck by how myth and mythic stories are significant in certain religious traditions. And I am a lifelong fan of fantasy, science fiction, and horror. I grew up with it in the 1970s and continue to be fascinated by it. And I was struck by, if I applied my academic studies to the study of myth as it comes up in science fiction, fantasy, and horror, that I was able to learn more about what these stories, whether they come in the form of graphic novels or comics or television or film or what have you, what it tells us about ourselves, our hopes and our fears, And so I was just struck by applying this theological and cultural education that I could learn about another area of passion for me in terms of the fantastic. And as a result of that, I thought about sharing some of my ideas and trying to probe these things, not just as aspects of entertainment, but also to probe it more deeply to ask, what can we learn about these things? What does it tell us about ourselves, including religion and spirituality? And I found something of a niche. And although I think I do this primarily for myself, because I say, what would I like to read in a blog? I found a large number of people who enjoy it as well. And I was humbled to be nominated for last year for Best Blog through
nice.
Didn't win, maybe 1 year, but good to get a little recognition and find out I'm not the only one that wants to probe these things a little more deeply.
So tell me about, okay, your very first, the very first thing that you kind of that hooked you into this idea of balancing kind of these two different worlds, and maybe what was that first thing that you wrote, that first thing that really drew you in that said, hey, you know what, I could write a paper on this, or I could submit this as an article, or I could, you know, just go off into this, in, you know, onto this blog about it. What was it that kind of, what was that first thing that really kind of hooked you?
Well, I don't know if it was the first thing that hooked me. I'd always been hooked as a fan. I just think these things are cool. And, you know, I used to be a geek in the 1970s, and it used to be something that you had to hide. And
right.
Now I think, you know, geek culture rules. And
yes.
It's about time the rest of the world caught on to what, you know, us geeks and nerd culture were all about. It's about time they caught up with how wonderful this stuff is. But I've always been that. But I remember looking and studying contemporary paganism, these nature-based spiritualities. And I was struck by how not only for Christians, Catholics, and Protestants, but also for pagans, how appealing Tolkien's writings have been in terms of his great stories about Middle Earth and his mythic narrative that he develops there. And then I discovered that there are, in fact, these new religious movements that have been created based upon the Tolkien myth. And the more I probed, I found that there are other religious movements that are drawing upon not only fantasy, but sometimes science fiction, including Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard, the late science fiction writer, incorporated some of the ideas from some of his early science fiction into the philosophy or religion of Scientology. And I was just struck that here we have religious expression that overlaps with the science fiction, fantasy, and horror narratives, wherever we find them, whether in books or television or movies. And it just occurred to me that there's something here worth exploring, not just in terms of entertainment, but in terms of learning about it from the perspective of cultural studies and religious studies.
Neat. That's very cool. So tell me a little bit about you know, the thing that stood out with what you just said was in terms of horror. Most people are not necessarily putting religious stuff and horror stuff in the same in even the same box. So, you know, a lot of folks who read comics from our religion may not quite see that overlap. So, tell me a little bit about where you see some of those overlaps.
Well, for those folks who want to explore this in more depth, I would recommend a whole book treatment of it by my friend and colleague, Doug Cowan, who has written a book called Sacred Terror, where he looks in depth at how religion has surfaced and continues to be expressed in horror films. So, of course, over time, this has changed. In the past, when Christianity was more credible and culturally dominant in certain areas, we had and continue to have a number of Christian ideas. So, for example, in vampire films, you have the idea that the vampire is this almost satanic or demonic figure, and it can be held at bay through the cross and through holy water, and it is seen as being a supernatural agent of evil in direct opposition to the church. And, of course, as we go through time and, again, as we move into a post-Christendom environment, that changes so that the vampire is no longer a supernatural creature, but rather is the result of some kind of virus or some other explanation of a more naturalistic kind of thing. So whether it's the vampire or the zombie, we see this interwoven within the mythic narratives. The stories are religious ideas, whether it's taken seriously, as in the past, or whether there's more of a postmodern play on some of the religious elements like we see now. It's impossible to look at these films many times and not find a religious element, because human beings are by nature religious creatures, whether it's expressed in a believing or a skeptical kind of way, and we just have to be willing to probe beneath the surface to find where it's at.
Yeah, and I would argue that some of the most terrifying horror movies of all time are the ones who tend to have a religious bent. Like, I'm thinking when I was taking a religion and film class in college, and one of the things on the syllabus was The Exorcist, and I thought, I can't believe I'm going to watch this for school. And but there you go. There again, you have that battle of good and evil, and in that movie, very raw. And God, I still, that just thinking about that movie, it just still freaks me out.
You might recall, I don't know how old you are, but I mean, in the 1970s, you had people lining up around the block to go see it. There are reports of people vomiting and passing out. And what's interesting is that as we've gone through time, although we're in a more skeptical age, we still see, for whatever reason, this fascination with the idea of Satan or the devil and the idea of possession.
Right.
So we have a number of films that continue to crop up that deal with this particular idea. And at its heart, whether it's expressed in a more reverent and believing kind of way, or where we're not quite sure is this really a psychological phenomenon or something supernatural, it still has this religious origin, and we see it expressed in these types of areas. So you're quite correct. It's out there in a number of areas.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, this is actually the first time that John and I have been able to connect like this, but John was nice enough to respond to a couple articles that I did for Comics from Our Religion, and I appreciate that. John, thanks for doing that. Most recently, I wrote an article on rituals, and I was suggesting in there that we as human beings, and I would even argue even more so as comic book fans, are specifically wired for routine and ritual and find meaning in those rituals. And so, so John has done some work on this, on that idea and some thought, but in a much broader sense on theofantastique.com. And so tell me a little bit about kind of your thought process about that idea of ritual, not just, you know, in comic book fans, but in fans of all genres of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and you know, where do you see some of that happening?
Well, first of all, let me congratulate you and thank you for some of the writing that you've done on this topic. That article that you mentioned that you did, the idea of reading comics with others functioning as a form of ritual, perhaps bordering on the religious, was, I thought, an important insight.
Thanks.
I do think we as human beings, again, whether as a result of an evolutionary process or what have you, I think this religious urge is hardwired into human beings. And a part of that is an expression through praxis, through ritual. So I think it's very easy to make the connection that you did. In my own particular research and writing, I have been struck. I did my master's degree in intercultural studies, and my master's thesis was on Burning Man Festival.
Oh, cool.
That art festival, an alternative countercultural movement that meets a week in connection with the Labor Day weekend. It just finished up for 2012, where some 50,000 or more people literally create community out of nothing in the desert in Nevada. And as I studied it, I read about it, read academic material, talked to burners, went to an event myself. I was struck by the process of ritual, the formation of identity, and very religious or spiritual things that Burning Man participants go through as they attend this festival. And then as I looked at science fiction conventions, it was interesting to me in that there almost seemed to be a parallel, in that science fiction and fantasy convention participants, they aren't going to the desert, but they're stepping outside of the normal mundane world that they inhabit. They're going to an alternative reality. Many of them are engaged in costume play as a form of ritual. They engage with their celebrity figures, which are almost, if you're a really strong fan, are almost deified in some sense. There is a sense of community that one experiences there, just like going to church or some other house of worship. And then as I started looking at academic writings on the subject, I found other scholars that had seen exactly the same thing. So, for example, one scholar referred to attending a Star Trek convention as akin to a form of religious pilgrimage. Mm. As a Muslim might take the pilgrimage to Mecca, so a Star Trek fan might go to a Star Trek convention in order to try and have a dialogue with his favorite Star Trek star and celebrity. Mm. Another academic and anthropologist said that there were other forms of ritual and drew the connection and said that the civil religious practices of Star Trek conventions are almost functioning as an alternative form of spirituality. So I don't want to be misunderstood here. I'm not saying that Star Trek and science fiction is necessarily an alternative religion, but religion has escaped the boundaries that it used to be contained in the past. It's no longer limited to traditional institutions, and people are drawing upon a wide variety of sources to inform their lives, including the spiritual. And many times science fiction, fantasy, and even horror functions in a sacred way for these people. So there is, in a very meaningful way, a form of religious ritual that's taking place even in science fiction conventions.
Let's unpack that just a little bit, because there's obviously something that people are getting from conventions, from the worlds that are created from the imaginations of authors and artists and writers, and there's something that is intangible that we're finding in these tangible stories, and so I'm wondering, thinking along the same lines as those first, early Christians, for example, who oral tradition was being passed down, and before we had pen or ink on paper, you had oral traditions, and yet they were finding something that was intangible, but tangible in the retelling of these stories. Why is story so important to us?
Well, I think we need to back up a little bit for the listener that might be having trouble connecting the dots between what we're talking about and the concept of religion. I think we tend to think of religion inappropriately in America, particularly. We tend to think and define religion in terms of belief in God or some kind of supreme being.
Right.
And if we limit our definition to that, then we miss some very important religious expressions, including many forms of Buddhism. So I think it's important to think of religion in a broader sense, to have what the great scholar Clifford Geertz has called a thick description of religion, where we kind of back up a little bit, where human beings have a desire to connect with and bring their lives in line with the transcendent, something beyond themselves, whatever that may be. Maybe a supreme being, maybe God, it might not be, might be some ultimate principle or something. And a part of that, in many religious and spiritual traditions, is what you've asked about, and it's this idea of the mythic story. And I think Christianity has a part of that. It has this grand story, which unfortunately for many Christians, especially of a very conservative variety, has been boiled down into a series of propositions and rules about do's and don'ts, and they have lost sight of the grand story about God and how your life can play a part in keeping with God's work in the universe and the world. Other religious traditions have their big stories as well. And I think science fiction and fantasy, they provide that. They create these alternative worlds of possibility which allow human beings to ask themselves the question, what if? And they can therefore live their lives as a part of this grand story that comes from alternative mythic sources.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, going back a little bit to what you were talking about with Star Trek, and I mean, for me, I see some very close parallels between, and I don't want to use this word incorrectly because I think it's been used incorrectly, but fanaticism. I don't mean it like in a unhealthy kind of way, but you know, being a true fan of a certain genre or a certain kind of media like Star Trek. But what's interesting about Star Trek is that Roddenberry was a secular humanist, and you made this connection in one of your blog posts. You know, what would Roddenberry have to say about the connection there between, or the connections really that we're making that he might not have made, but what would he say about this connection between pilgrimage and people, you know, making these journeys to go and meet their very favorite actors and creators and in that need that fans have to be connected to that.
Yeah, it's as you mentioned, I recently did a post on this in connection with an idea that Gene Roddenberry had wanted to see realized as a film for quite some time, basically called The God Thing.
Right.
And he was well known to be a secular humanist. And you see that philosophy in Star Trek, the original series, where the idea is that in the 23rd century, humanity has evolved beyond the need for religion. As the what would become a franchise develops over time, and as Roddenberry has less influence, and eventually as he passes away, you see that there's a shift, and we do find religion incorporated in various expressions of the franchise. But to me, it's this great irony that here you have this man who was no fan of organized religion and who wanted to see a Star Trek movie done where basically the crew of the Enterprise goes out to try and find what is allegedly God, and it's exposed that it's simply this mischievous alien. We see a little bit of this in one of the Star Trek movies where they did take some of these plot elements and incorporated it, but the idea was never totally realized. But through this God thing, what Roddenberry wanted to do was to critique organized religion, and certainly there is room for critique. I think we need to be self-critical and reflective about our religious commitments, and as well as our irreligious commitments, whatever they may be. But here we have this great skeptic, and after his death, many of his fans have adopted the ethic, the infinite diversity and infinite combination, as a way of life. They're involved in ritual and pilgrimage, and for many, Star Trek functions in the sense of spirituality or religion. So here we have something created by an atheist, opposed to organized religion, that takes on an almost religious aura. And again, it's just a reminder that human beings are religious creatures, and even with atheistic intent, it's difficult to get away from the God thing that Roddenberry so desperately wanted to critique and portray.
So maybe he's rolling in his grave, but maybe not. Hopefully not. But well, let's turn a little bit to comic books a little bit, and tell me what your connection, if any, to comics. What do you read? What did you read? Maybe growing up, where do you see some really cool things happening in the world of comics with this idea of religion, myth, that kind of thing?
Well, I don't read comic books nearly as much. When I was a kid in the 1970s, I did. I think my brother more so than I. My brother is a comic artist. He is Richard Moore, who did the Boneyard comics, the horror comic and graphic novel. I'm blanking on the name of his current project that he's got on right now, and he'll kill me if he ever listens to this. But Richard Moore, again, is a comic author, and he's my brother. I used to look at the superhero as well as Tomb of Dracula and those kinds of things in the 1970s. I don't have much time to interact with comics now, so you probably would be more in touch than I would with any religious elements. I will say that as a result of being a fan of The Walking Dead, I'm now trying to catch up on the many years of the graphic novel to see how those two connect. And it's interesting to see on the TV show some religious elements, but I'm not sure in the graphic novel if any of that surfaces.
Yeah, there's a little bit. I mean, Kirkman is not he's not very heavy-handed with it, but it's definitely there, and I think he likes to just dwell more with the whole how far can he take the human condition.
let me ask you, one of the episodes that intrigued me was the episode where they're looking for Sophia, and they hear a church bell going off, and the search party runs into this church, dispatches the zombie worshipers. And up in front of this Baptist church, strangely enough, is a large crucifix. And several of the cast members take time praying and expressing their faith and doubt as it relates to their situation in the apocalypse. Is any of that present in the graphic?
Well, I have to say I haven't seen the second season of The Walking Dead yet. But
shame on you.
I know. I need to. But that specifically doesn't happen. What does happen, though, is that they and maybe this is a future spoiler for the TV show. I don't know if I'm not exactly sure where they are in the show and then where this happens in the comic book. But basically they come upon a church and they find that it's been all boarded up, but there is one lone pastor who is in the church once they break in, and what you find out is that he has, you know, when the apocalypse came, he basically boarded up all of the church, and when all of his, you know, congregation were coming and flocking to the church, he had boarded it up and basically left them all to die. Just to protect himself, and so there is commentary there on religion, and the role that it serves in kind of a dire, extreme situation like a zombie apocalypse. But so what you're talking about actually doesn't happen in the comic book. So
okay, yeah, I know in the graphic novel that Sophia does not disappear and turn into a. I don't know if I should tell you, in the second season she becomes zombified.
Oh. Yes, no. she's still a survivor in the book right now.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So yeah, well, I was just curious as to whether or not that religious thread surfaces in the graphic novels. I'm intrigued by your background. If I could reverse the tables for just a moment and be the interviewer, how did you make the connection and decide to look at the religious elements of comics? It's not exactly what most folks are looking for.
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked that, because I haven't really covered it on a podcast version of Comics from Our Religion. But basically, growing up being a comic book fan is kind of my main media. I mean, of course, I love TV and film and cartoons and all of that. But comics have always been kind of my main go-to in terms of my own hobbies and things like that. And for a long, long time, I really struggled with, you know, being a practicing Christian and comic books, and whether or not there were, whether or not I should be collecting comic books as a Christian. And even though I grew up in a pretty liberal, progressive family, you know, I still grew up in the South, and so to walk into a comic book store with a cross around your neck and have people kind of give you weird looks, just as much as taking a comic book to youth group and people giving you weird looks. I mean, it was kind of this cognitive dissonance of
okay. So this concern of yours wasn't something you developed as a result of reading comic books as a Christian. It was something that you felt pressure from your church culture.
Yeah, definitely. It was just more myself, just trying to figure out the balance between these two things. But as the more I read and the more I was drawn to comic books, and the funny thing was, is that in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was, you know, really doing a lot of my collecting in the early days, being in middle school and high school, I was really drawn to things like Todd McFarlane's Spawn, and which had a very religious undercurrent. You know, this guy who died and was brought back to life to be this avenging demonic Avenger kind of person, and then this battle between heaven and hell that was going on, that and he was kind of caught in the middle of. I was very, very drawn to that, and but yet I remember I have a sister, an older sister, who is much more conservative and fundamentalist, I would say, than I am, and I can remember her kind of denouncing, you know, I can't believe that you would collect this kind of stuff and call yourself a Christian. And so really it was, you know, it was those formative times. And then, you know, later after college, and then getting into, you know, I was a religion major and still, you know, collecting comics all the while, and finding these themes, and finding that, you know, that really Superman as a Christ, once I understood the concept of a Christ figure in media, I thought, wow, like it just opened up so many doors of, okay, like these things can, not only are they entertaining, but they can inform my faith in a way that I didn't realize could happen before. And so that was really kind of where it all started forming. So,
okay, yeah. I appreciate that. In fact, I find your early experience and struggle interesting in that it parallels my own.
Oh, yeah.
I was raised first in an agnostic family, and then something of a Mormon offshoot. I didn't at that time, as a teenager in the 1970s, see a struggle with my interests. But then I married into a very conservative kind of Baptist orientation, and I still remember with great tears the day when I was told that I needed to take my small but very much loved science fiction, fantasy, and horror collection and simply get rid of it by donating it to the local comic book store.
Right.
And it was only years later that I stopped and rethought that whole thing. Why is this supposedly incompatible with my Christian faith? And the more I discovered, I thought, you know, it isn't. And I have found great opportunities through my website, my blog, Theo Fantastique, at interacting with people of diverse religious persuasions, and where we can talk about religious and cultural things through these mythic narratives. So I have been slowly rebuilding my collection over the years, but right. It's interesting to see similar kinds of struggles that take place.
Well, at least you didn't burn them. that would have been a much sadder story.
Well, yeah, I think I would still be scarred if that.
Exactly.
Especially looking at eBay and seeing some of what I had and what it's now valued at.
Oh yeah, there's always that. So, so tell me a little bit. Where are some of the best, like, you know, there are a lot of people who read my column and look at your site and will hopefully be listening to this podcast. Are these people who are fans of both the connection between religion, comics, film, TV, and all of these things? Where would you point somebody who may be starting that journey and saying, you know, I really love you know, my faith, and I really want to get in, you know, I really want to find more ways, more examples of really good literature, film, anything out there that will only, you know, enhance that faith rather than not. What are some things out there?
That is really tough because there really aren't, first of all, there aren't a whole lot of evangelicals at all that interact positively with these genres.
Right.
Most of it, if they do at all, it's believed to be off limits and satanic, and we only need to look at the Harry Potter controversies from a few years ago as an example of that, never mind. You know, things like The Exorcist and all of that. So it tends to be hands off. When it is engaged by Christians, you have this unfortunate Christian subcultural mentality where now we're producing so-called Christian horror, which to me kind of defangs it and takes away some of the subversive nature of it. which makes it so exciting to explore, even from a Christian perspective. So I would encourage the listener who wants to explore some of this from the religious angle to look at blogs like yours and to take a look at mine and some of the posts that we have done, some of the people that we've interacted with, and recognize that these things contain elements of compatibility as well as friction with the Christian faith. But even where you disagree, I think there's still significant things that we can learn about and listen to. We don't need to fear these kinds of things. It's just a way for us to understand ourselves better, our religious commitments, and the society that we live in. And try and find some good materials, be open-minded in your assessment, and enjoy your passions as you go through this process.
Yeah. Answering my own question a little bit, I would say that really, whatever it is that you find interesting, you can find some kind of thread. I've always seen comic books specifically, but also TV and film as icons, windows into the spiritual realm. And I've always seen just someone else's imagination and having them realized in an artistic form unlocks our own imagination in such a way that allows us to see God in just tremendous and wonderful ways, and maybe not even just God, but I think just life and how the world works around us, and seeing these artistic metaphors, I think just they unlock something within us as well, and really allow us to see our own seemingly mundane world as something that's a little more fantastic than we might give regular credence to. But
yeah, I agree with that. In fact, I would encourage folks. In my opinion, Western Christianity, particularly in America, suffers from a stunted theological imagination.
Right.
And therefore, we can learn from some of this tremendous interest in these fantastic narratives and how could it inform us about moving and understanding our faith in such a way as it's not just a series of rules and do's and don'ts and doctrines to believe, but it is a huge and mysterious and playful environment in which to live out our lives and our faith. And so I think there's a lot that we can learn even from a filmmaker or a television show or a graphic novel that isn't produced by a Christian.
Right. Exactly. Now, I was looking at Theo Fantastique, and I was just scrolling through some of the different categories on the side there, and I clicked on Doctor Who, and I noticed that you don't have a lot of Doctor Who on your site.
You know, I don't. I was given the opportunity a year or two ago as a part of I do a lot of writing and editing, and I was asked by a gentleman, a blogger, if I wanted to be a part of a small group to do some essays on the publication Religion Dispatches dealing with Doctor Who, and I just never got into it. And I started watching some of the current episodes to see if something came to mind. And when I write, I have to do it from a place of passion.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching it, and it just didn't connect with me. Now, if it was Star Trek or Star Wars or Ray Harryhausen or 1950s sci-fi and horror, I'm all over it. But it just never connected with me. So you will have to forgive me in that.
Well, yeah, and really, I'm kind of a new fan to Doctor Who, and really just now seeing a lot of the conversations that the Doctor will have with humans and think, wow, what a great example of how God sees us and how we see God and how the Doctor continually interacts with these people on Earth and all of that kind of stuff. So it was just interesting. I just was like, oh man, he's missing this whole section. So maybe I need to start writing some more about that.
From time to time, I do. I'm pretty picky about the quality of what I want to put on my site and what it touches on, and I do have guest writers. And
there you go.
If Doctor Who is a deficit, I would love to consider some of your submissions on that. So
okay.
Consider that an invitation.
All right. Thanks. Well, before we wrap things up, is there any other things out there that you'd like to plug? Anything else that you're working on? Anything else maybe that you're not working on but you just think is great that you just want people to know about?
Well, let me mention two projects that I've been privileged to be working on at the moment. One is a forthcoming volume through Wipf and Stock. It's co-edited by myself and Kim Paffenroth, who's the author of many books on zombies, including Gospel of the Living Dead. And this new
That's
book...
That's a great title, by the way.
It is. This new book is called The Undead in Theology, and basically it looks at various undead creatures broadly defined, including vampires, zombies, Cenobites, as well as the golem from Jewish mythology.
Yeah.
And it uses these creatures as objects for theological reflection, and it's a multi-contributor volume. We've got some great people touching on some of the great material out there on these horror creatures, and we're hoping that'll be coming out before the end of this year, but they can tune into the blog and Facebook to get more updates. And the other one is another project that I'm co-editing with Tony Mills and Ryan Parker that'll be coming out through McFarland, and we're receiving the submissions from the contributors that are due by the end of October, and it's tentatively titled Joss Whedon and Religion. Which is interesting because Joss Whedon, if anybody is familiar with, happens to be a self-professed atheist. And so much like Gene Roddenberry, we're looking at how does religion play out in some of the works of Joss Whedon. So those are two volumes that I've been privileged to work on, and the other materials are still roaming around my brain, and folks will just have to tune into the blog as those things start to come together.
That's fantastic. So as a zombie fan, real quick, I have – this is a book that I have not read, but I have some good friends from our site, comicattack.net, who speak very highly of this book called Dead World. Have you read – have you picked up anything or heard of Dead World?
No, I haven't.
Dead World is a series that was written by an author by a creator named Gary Reed, and he's been doing this for about 20 years. He's been writing different series, but it's from what friends have told me, and it's something that I do definitely want to read. That there is just a wealth of stories that he has written, and it's a very much it's kind of a similar I mean it's your kind of standard apocalyptic, you know, what happens to survivors after a zombie attack, but you know, yeah, it's a pretty big story, and they just wrapped up Gary Reed just wrapped up a 5-issue mini series that came out every week in the month of August. But anyway, check it out. It's called Dead World.
Okay, let me mention one more that just came to mind. I just stumbled across it. It's called Speaking of Monsters, a Teratological Anthology. And what teratology is, it's a fancy word for the academic study of monsters. And it's edited by Carolyn Joan Picard and John Edgar Browning. And it's a multi-contributor volume. And there's some fascinating explorations of monstrosity. And one that I'm really interested in is a chapter on religious monstrosity, how evangelical Christianity creates its own monsters as it negotiates its way in our society. So if you want to explore the concept of monsters as it relates to our culture, that's an excellent book that came out just this year.
Cool. Fantastic. That's great. I need to put that on my wish list. Well, that about wraps it up for this edition of Comics from Our Religion. I want to thank you, John, for joining us tonight and giving us your insight. It's been great.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and again, I look forward to the possibility of you having some contributions to Theo Fantastique.
That'd be great. Well, speaking of Theo Fantastique, be sure to go over to TheoFantastique.com and look at all the great content that John's got there. Also, be sure to check out everything that ComicAttack.net has to offer. Reviews of just about every kind of comic book, including one that I do, which is the Uncanny X-Piles, where we look at X-Men books of the week and review those. There's some great manga reviews over there, great articles, great columns, and a bunch of fun podcasts like my show, The Contest of Champions Live, which we do every week, which has superheroes fighting superheroes. We also have Tales from the Water Cooler, our review show, and Discussions with Decapitated Dan. You can join us over at comicattack.net at the forums, where you can chime in on this and other discussions. And, of course, be sure to check out Comics Are My Religion every month on comicattack.net. And if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, please email me at jeff@comicattack.net. And so once again, thanks, John, and thanks all of you for listening. And until next time, peace be with you.